بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is our ninth session. Reading from the book, the explanation of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, the chapter Al-Mubadara ila al-Khayrat from Riyadh al-Salihin, chapter dealing with hastening towards good deeds and urging the one who's headed towards good to advance with eagerness and without hesitation. The hadith that we're going to discuss tonight is the sixth hadith from this chapter, hadith number 92 from Riyadh al-Salihin. And before we look at that hadith and its topic and read from the explanation of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, we want to quickly review some of what we covered in the previous session from questionnaire study guide number 8. The first question being, mention the two questions that were asked in hadith number 91, last week's hadith. Mention the two questions and discuss the difference between the two questions. What were the two questions first, and then second part, what's the difference between them? Now, Mustafa here, in this Mustafa.
First question, Anas reported that on the day of Uhud, Prophet Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
and ask who will take it from me.
Anas radiallahu anhu, he reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Uhud took a sword in his hand and he said, who will take it from me? Who will take, yani, in Arabic, what did he say?
Man ya'khudh
minni hadha, yani hadha safe. Man ya'khudh minni hadha. That's the first question. Okay, second question, Mustafa on this side. Where's Mustafa? Other Mustafa, huh?
He went to Maryland.
Oh, he went to Maryland. Oh, may Allah keep him safe, inshallah. Just realize he's not here. Now, Mustafa here, this one.
So when the Sahabas withdrew, he then asked, who will take it with its rights? He asked them, who will take it with its rights?
Now, who will take it with its rights? Yani, in Arabic, he said what? Man ya'khudhu bihaqqihi. What's the difference between these two questions? What's the difference? Now, Musa.
First one, he just asked who is going to take it.
First one, he asked who's going to take it.
Second one, who's going to take it with its right.
Okay, and the second one, who's going to take it with its right. So what's the significance of the Yani? Yani Talib.
One is general and one is specific.
One is general and one is specific. Naam, anything else?
It's a condition.
The first one is general, second one is specific. With conditions.
They didn't know what it's right.
And then when he said, bihaqihi, they don't know, like, what is this condition that he's making? They don't know, is it some responsibility that we can carry or we can't carry?
Yeah.
So they were afraid,
yeah,
to take it, knowing that they're making a commitment and they don't know what the commitment is. There's a big difference between these two questions. Question number two, discuss who responded to the first question and who responded to the second and why the difference in response. And who responded to the first question? Now, Abdul Halim. And everybody responded. Everybody raised their hands. Anna, Anna. Everybody, right? Who responded to the second question? Now, Abu Dujana, radiallahu anhu. He responded to the second question. What's the rest of the question?
He said, I will take it with his right.
Now, huh? Why the difference in the response? Why is there a difference in the response? Naam, Walid. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Who will take it, like they'll all reach out for it, but then when he said with its right, they all held back because they didn't know what it meant.
No.
Jujana placed the weapon, he put the weapon on Allah, and he said, I'll take it with its right, even though he didn't know what its right is, because he had to put the weapon in Allah to go and do
it. Abu Dujana, yani when the rest of the people heard the second question, that this taking the sword has some responsibility, then not knowing what the responsibility was, they hesitated. Now they withdrew. Not knowing what is the responsibility. But Abu Dujana, what did he do? And he took it with its responsibility, by what? By seeking help from Allah, putting his trust in Allah. Tawakkal ala Allah. يعني يستعين بالله ويتوكل عليه ويحسن الظن به. He took it with his right, but how though? Because he intended to seek help from Allah. And he expected good from Allah, that if he intends to do good, Allah will help him. And he put his trust in Allah, relied upon Allah, depended upon Allah. And Allah, يعني هو أحسن ظن بالله, and Allah helped him and supported him and made him successful in carrying that tremendous responsibility. Question number 3, discuss briefly the background of this major event during which the questioning takes place. What is the background of this hadith? Naam, Mustafa. He was getting ready for the Battle of Uhud. What is the Battle of Uhud? What is the Battle of Uhud? Naam. Mustafa and Mustafa, huh? Just back and forth, Mustafa and Mustafa. Naam.
When you happened after the Quraysh was defeated in battle?
Okay, it was in response to the Quraysh. They were defeated in battle. What battle?
Battle of Badr.
And what happened, yani, in that battle?
Their
leaders were killed off. Their leaders were killed off. Therefore, they wanted revenge. They came back to fight the Prophet ﷺ to take revenge for what had happened in the Battle of Badr. And what about Uhud, the Battle of Uhud? What is this Uhud? Yani, is this a place or what? Yani, it's a mountain near the city of Medina. That the Prophet ﷺ said about it, what? Jabalun yuhibbuna wa nuhibbuhu. Yani, it is a mountain that loves us and we love it. Question number 4. Discuss the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ to the archers. They're acting contrary to it and the consequence of it. Yani, what was the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ? What did they do and what was the consequence of their action? Naam, what was the instruction of the Prophet? Abdullah.
He instructed the archers to stay put.
Stay put.
No matter which way the battle
goes. No matter which way the battle goes.
Stay in their positions.
And
the archers acted contrary to that when they believed that the Quraysh had retreated. They went after the spoils.
Some of the archers, when they saw that the battle was finished, in their mind they thought it was over, they left their positions and they went to join in the gathering of the spoils. Yani, what did the Prophet ﷺ say to them exactly? Does anybody know exactly what he said to them? Muhammad?
Don't leave your post even at the birds
of birds. In the Sheikh, when he mentioned this, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said to them two things or three things. The first thing he said, لا تبرحوا مكانكم. Don't leave your place. The second thing he said to them, وَبْقَوْ فِي مَكَانِكُمْ. Remain in your places. And the third thing he said to them, سَوَاءً كَانَتْ لَنَا أَوْ عَلَيْنَا. No matter if it is for us or against us. Yani, if the battle goes our way or against us. And he told them what? Don't leave your places. And then he told them, remain in your places. And then he said, no matter. There's no difference. This instruction is for you no matter if it is for us or against us, if we are winning or we are losing. But they, yani, some of them, yani, thought that once the Quraysh had departed and were leaving, running from the battlefield, the matter was finished and there was no need to follow that instruction at that point. As a consequence of some of them descending from the mountain and leaving, the back of the Muslims uncovered. What happened? The Quraysh horsemen came from behind them when they saw this. They attacked them from behind. The Quraysh who were running turned around and attacked them from the other side. And they had the Muslims in the middle. As a consequence of that, there was what?
50.
How many?
70.
Sab'una. Sab'una. 70 of the companions of the Prophet were martyred, including
Hamza
radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Question number 5. Mention the ayat, the third surah of the Quran, 152nd ayat, third surah, 152nd ayat, revealed on this occasion, showing the evil consequence of disobedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, now what is the ayat? Anybody know this ayat? You know.
Hatta
ما تحبون. موسى recited this in the Salah tonight. What is the meaning of this ayah? حتى إذا فشلتم until you lost your courage وتنازعتم في الأمر and you began to dispute concerning the matter, the instruction of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم وأسيتم, then you disobeyed. من بعد ما أراكم ما تحبون, after Allah showed you that which you love, and He showed you the defeat of the enemy, the victory of the Muslims, the spoils being collected, then you and he left your post. Naam. After Allah had granted them victory, it turned around into defeat. Question number 6. Discuss the main point of benefit from this hadith, mentioning the essentials necessary to guarantee Allah's help. Yani, what is the main point of benefit from this hadith? And if this hadith indicates to us, Naam, Waleed. ينبغي, يعني it is incumbent upon the human being to hasten, يبادر بالخير, in doing good, ولا يتأخر, and do not delay, don't hesitate, don't postpone, don't put it off. Hasten, hasten, hasten. How do we understand this from this hadith?
The hadith is saying that hasten towards
Abu Dujana, he hastened without hesitation. He said, I'll take it, but it's right. When everybody else withdrew, he didn't hesitate, he hastened to do good. Huh? Because of what? Knowing the ingredients for success are what? Number one? Okay, tawakkul from them. Uh-huh. What else?
Having good thoughts about Allah.
Good expectation from Allah. Good thought of Allah. And first thing, al-isti'ana. Al-isti'ana wa husnul dhan billahi wa tawakkul ala Allah. And that a person, and the ingredients for success is what? Seeking help from Allah. First and foremost. Having good expectation of Allah, husnul dhan billah, yani that if a person tries to do something that's pleasing to Allah, that Allah will help them. And tawakkul ala Allah, putting your trust, dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. Question number 7. Memorize the ayah from the 65th surah, 3rd ayah mentioned by the Shaykh rahimahullah, showing the importance of tawakkul. What is the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned? What is the ayah from Surah Al-Talaq? Abu Bakr. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ هُوَ حَسْبُهُ. يعني هو حسبه هو كافيه. يعني whoever puts their trust in Allah, depends upon Allah, relies upon Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Then he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be sufficient for him. كافيه. Allah will suffice him. Allah will suffice him. This is a tremendous, tremendous promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these ayats, the 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th ayat in this surah, and Allah makes promise to the people. And for those who what? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever have taqwa of Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, whoever put their trust in Allah, that Allah will make a way out for them. Allah will yani make ease for them in their affair. Allah will be sufficient for them to the end of what He said. For who? The one who observe taqwa and put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 8. Discuss briefly the two essential elements of tawakkul as explained by the Shaykh, yani Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in the quote that we mentioned from him from Kitab al-Tawheed. Two essential elements of tawakkul. Naam, Musa.
Seeking help from Allah.
Uh-huh.
And having trust on Allah by doing that which
okay, seeking help of Allah, having trust in Allah, doing that was pleasing to Allah. The Shaykh in his definition, and in this Kitab al-Tawheed, he said, he defined tawakkul, and then he said, there are two essential elements from this definition. Does anybody remember the definition that he gave for tawakkul? Naam.
Dependence on Allah that is sincere, and doing the means to achieve that which is intended.
طيب. Dependence on Allah that's sincere and doing the things, utilizing the means that Allah has made permissible. And in the definition that the Shaykh gave, the definition,
putting one's trust in Allah.
At tawakkul is putting your trust in Allah,
to achieve
the good, yani, or to repulse evil. Yani, the purpose of putting your trust in Allah is for one of two things, either to achieve some good or to repulse some evil. Along with?
Along with while having confidence.
While having confidence in Allah. مع ثقة به. Having confidence in Allah. Naam. And then he said, and utilizing the means that Allah has made permissible. The two essential, he said, and in this definition there are two essential matters. The first of them is that putting one's trust in Allah must be يعني صادقا حقيقيا. Person must be sincere, must be real trust in Allah, not just claiming that. Real trust in Allah. And the second thing, in order for it to really be tawakkul, that Allah has legislated, person must utilize the means that Allah has made permissible to achieve that good or to repulse that evil. You must utilize those means. And then I sent the complete yani statement of the Shaykh concerning this matter. Please read it, because we didn't have a chance to read it last week. We summarized most of it, but please read it because it is very, very beneficial. What he said here about tawakkul. This is tremendous act of worship, tawakkul ala Allah. Every Muslim is in need of this. And if we are not aware of it, how will we utilize it? Last question mentioned the second point of benefit which the Shaykh rahimahullah derives from this hadith. Second point of benefit. Naam. What is the second point of benefit that the Shaykh derived from this hadith? Now we'll go to Abu Bakr again.
Evidence of the care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
for his ummah. Yani in this hadith there is evidence of the care, the ri'ayah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he was concerned about. And he was meticulous in looking to the affairs of the people. He was concerned about the people. This is shown in this hadith in what way? Because what? No favoritism. No favoritism. But I mean, in this hadith, what happened in this hadith? Anyone, he offered this great yani opportunity to earn the reward of Allah. He didn't yani limit it. He didn't show favoritism to anybody. He made an open offer. Who will take it? And everybody was willing to take it until they saw that there's some responsibility with it. Now, the person who's for the task steps forward. And nobody feels like there was favoritism. Because everybody had a chance, right? But only Abu Dujana radiallahu anhu took advantage of it. And this is very important, as the Shaykh mentioned, yani in dealing with people, whether it's a community or a nation or whatever, family, whatever it may be, yani that we be careful not to show favoritism or even yani show the signs of favoritism. The hadith for tonight is hadith number 92. And in the sixth hadith from this chapter, An al-Zubayr ibn Adiyyin qala, Atayna Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, Fashakawna ilayhi ma nalqa min al-Hajjaj. Faqala isbiru, fa'innahu la ya'ti alaykum zamanun illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu hatta تلقوا ربكم سمعته من نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه البخاري. نعم. الزبير ابن عدي he said أتينا أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه. أتينا, he and others came to أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, فشكونا إليه ما نلقى من الحجاج, and we complained to him concerning what we were receiving from Al-Hajjaj. Yani receiving, meaning the treatment, the injustice, the oppression, yani the harm that was coming to them from the emir that was placed over them by the ruler, yani by the khalifa. And Hajjaj, he was the emir of the people there in that place. And they came complaining to Anas ibn Malik about the injustice and transgression that they were receiving at his hands. فَقَالَ يعني Anas ibn Malik said, اصبروا. These are the words of Anas himself. يعني Anas said, اصبروا. That's his advice to them. And then after he gave them this tremendous advice, he said to them, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ. For indeed, no time, there will not come to you a time, a zaman, illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu, except that the time which comes after it will be more evil than it, will be worse than that time. Yani, la yati alaykum zaman, no time will come, no matter how bad it is, except that after it will come a time that will be worse than it, hatta talqa rabbakum, until you leave this world, until you meet your Rabb. Then Anas said, radiallahu anhu, sami'atuhu min nabiyikum
sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I heard this from your prophet, yani the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let me just note here the words of the Prophet as it's narrated in the Musnad of Al-Bazzar from Az-Zubair ibn Adi, from Anas, from the Prophet directly, without the story. Yani Anas said, radiallahu anhu, لا يأتي عليكم زمان. Yani he didn't say فَإِنَّهُ. That was his words also. In the Musnad of Bazzar, and he's narrated from Az-Zubair, from Anas, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يأتي عليكم زمان. These words. لا يأتي عليكم زمان. إلا والذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقى ربكم. So the beginning of the words in this hadith, يعني فقال أنس بن مالك said, اصبروا فإنه. Those are words from Anas. اصبروا, that's my advice to you. Verily, because now he says, this is what I heard from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه حتى تلقى ربكم. Okay, so I just want to make a note of this, because يعني it's not crystal clear which are the words of Anas and which are the words of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so يعني, and the Shaykh makes a note and he alludes to this if you are paying attention, but I want to make it clear from the beginning so that nobody will be confused about this. أصبروا, Anas said this, he said فإنه. Why am I telling you to do this, to be patient? Because of what I heard from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, no time will come to you no matter how bad it might be, except that the time after that comes after will be more evil, will be worse than it until you meet your Rabb. Then he said, I heard it from your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning لا يأتي عليكم زمان. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, and by the way, in the wording of Al-Bukhari, I only found one narration in Bukhari for this hadith. I only found one, and in the wording that I found in Bukhari, yani hadith number 7068, yani Bukhari narrates the hadith without the waw al-atif. يعني لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا والذي, البخاري narrated, لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا الذي, without wow. That's how it came in Bukhari, in the one narration that I found. Perhaps there's another narration or whatever, Allahu A'lam. Anyway, sometimes these hadith came in different narrations, يعني in different books, and perhaps the wow also came, and it seems that in Arabic it seems like يعني with wow يعني it sounds like it's supposed to be there. That's how it came in Bukhari, without wow. I'm just saying, that's how he came in Bukhari. The explanation of this hadith, قال المؤلف رحمه الله, يعني, the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, meaning, Imam An-Nawwi, Imam An-Nawwi رحمه الله, يعني the Shaykh is saying, Imam An-Nawwi رحمه الله, يعني, he said, فيما نقله عن الزبير بن عدي, in that which he has conveyed, transmitted from الزبير بن عدي, أنهم أتوا إلى أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه خادم الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني that they came, يعني the Shaykh is giving the meaning of the narration. He's saying that they came, يعني a group of people, more than one, يعني Zubair and others, they came to Anas ibn Malik رضي الله عنه. And here the Shaykh is saying, who was Anas ibn Malik? He was the servant, the attendant of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني when he was a child, his mother brought him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and offered him to serve the Prophet, to be with him and help him in whatever he needed. And as a result of this tremendous يعني gesture from his mother, he became one of the most prolific narrators of hadith of all the companions. Now, وَكَانَ قَدْ عُمِّرَ, يعني Anas had lived for a long time. وبقي إلى حوالي 90 سنة من الهجرة النبوية. And he يعني lived until about 90 years after the hijrah of the migration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from Mecca to Medina. Huh? He lived for a long time and he had a lot of children. نعم رضي الله عنه. وكان قد أدرك وقته شيئا من الفتن. And his time, yani by him living for a long time, he lived to a time in which some of the fitna, some of the trials reached him during his lifetime. And here, I just want to stop and make a note. Yani remember the first hadith that we took, Badiru bil amal fitan, fitanan, qaqitil layl al muzlima. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, Badiru bil amal, hasten with good deeds to go ahead of the time at which fitan will come. That would be like patches of dark night. And he try to do good as much as you can before the trials come, in which maybe you won't be able to do anymore, because it's going to be difficult then. And in this hadith, yani there's some relation in my mind in that what? That Anas radiallahu anhu is telling them, it's difficult. Naam, you're receiving oppression, tyranny, whatever. But guess what? I heard from the Prophet ﷺ that no time will come to you except after it will come a time will be worse than it. So you better take advantage of the time that you have, because what's coming after it may be worse. May be worse. So hasten to do good deeds. Aspiru. Be patient and do what you can do, because what's coming after this may be worse. And sometimes we're living in a situation where we imagine that this is horrible. But guess what? What's coming after it may be worse. And some people thought that the time of the previous president was evil, and then another one came, it was worse. Allahu musta'an. I'm just saying in general, in any president, in any land, right? So, yani the Shaykh, he says, فَجَعَوْ يَشْكُونَ إِلَيْهِ مَا يَجِدُونَ مِنَ الْحَجَّاجِ بْنِ يُوسِفَ الثَّقَفِي. So they came, these people, they came to Anas, and they were complaining to him the harsh, evil, yani oppression, tyranny, injustice that they were receiving from Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Ahadul Umara, he was one of the emirs, one of the governors, لِخُلَفَاء Bani Umayyah, for the rulers of Bani Umayyah. And during the period of the Bani Umayyah, he was a ruler, a governor that was appointed by the ruler. وَكَانَ مَعَرُوفًا بِالظُّلْمِ وَسَفْقِ الدِّمَاءِ وَكَانَ جَبَّارًا عَنِيدًا وَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. He said he was well known for dhulm and safq al-dinaa. And he was well known for what? For oppression. For tyranny, injustice. He was well known for this. It wasn't a secret. And he was known for what? Shedding blood. Allahu musta'an. And he was a tyrant indeed. And one who was stubborn in his way. And we seek refuge in Allah from such. And he was the one who laid siege on the city of Mecca for fighting with Abdul ibn al-Zubayr radiallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. And he had his men, yani flinging, slinging, I don't know, hurling stones by the, what you call this, catapult. Big heavy stones at the Kaaba until he destroyed it or some of it, as the Shaykh said. حَتَّى هَدَمَهَا أَوْ هَدَمَ شَيْئًا مِنْهَا, until he destroyed some of the Kaaba, and he had caused a lot of harm to the people. So they came complaining to Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and he, Anas, said to them radiallahu anhu, اصبروا, be patient. And this is advice from a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a scholar from amongst the scholars of Sahaba, one of the most prolific narrators of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who spent many years serving the Prophet in his presence all the time. And he said to them, what? Asbiru. So if you are suffering from injustice, oppression, and somebody said to you, Asbiru, don't say, get out of here with that. Don't say, get out of here with that. Asbiru. Naam. Be patient. So Anas, he said to them, Asbiru. He commanded them with patience, to be patient with the tyranny from those who are put in charge of their affairs, wulatul umur. And this is because, listen to this, وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ وُلَاتُ الْأُمُورِ قَدْ يُصَلَّتُونَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِسَبَبِ ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ. قَدْ يُصَلَّتُونَ, يعني sometimes those who are placed in charge of the people are put in authority over them بِسَبَبِ ظُلْمِ النَّاسِ, due to the injustice, oppression, wrongdoing of the people themselves. Huh? And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Surah Al-An'am, 629th ayat, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّ بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And likewise, Allah is saying in reference to something mentioned before that, وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّ بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. Sometimes we place in charge some of the unjust oppressors over others of people who are unjust oppressors, wrongdoers. Put some of them in charge of others, بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, due to what? That which they were earning. Yani due to their own deeds. This ayat has two yani possible meanings. Yani some of the scholars of tafsir said they were made awliya. Some of them were made awliya over others. Yani meaning they were made as helpers and supporters of one another. Yani in their wrongdoing and injustice and sin. Some of them yani were made to be awliya one of another. The second meaning, which is the meaning that is intended by the Shaykh here, it is نُصَلِّتُ بَعْدُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْدْ فَيُحْلِكَهُمْ. Yani we place some of them in charge of others to destroy them. Or as Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said, the meaning of this ayat in a long discussion of this ayat, and I'll just quote a piece of it. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir said the meaning of this noble ayat, كَذَلِكَ نَفْعَلُ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. This is the way we do to the wrongdoers, the people of dhulm. This is how we do them. نُصَلِّتُ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. We place some of them in charge of others of them. Some of them over there, over the others who are like them. وَنُحْلِكُ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. And we destroy some of the ظَالِمُونَ with other ظَالِمُونَ. وَنَنْتَقِمُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ بِبَعْضٍ. And we take revenge from some of them by others of them. So just think about what's happening here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that we place some of them over the others of them, and we destroy some of them by others of them, the zalimeen. All of them are zalimeen. Some of them in charge of others, and some of them are destroying others, and we're taking revenge from some of the wrongdoers by other zalimeen, wrongdoers like themselves. Jaza'an ala zulmihim wa baghihim. And this is the reward for their what? For their zulm and their baghi. Yani for their injustice, their wrongdoing and their tyranny. This is how Allah compensates them. He gives them what they deserve. So the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, فَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ وُلَاتُ الْأُمُورِ قَدْ ظَلَمُ النَّاسِ. So if you see that those who have been placed over the people do wrong to them, do injustice, tyranny, in reference to their wealth, maybe taking their wealth, or to their bodies, causing physical harm or punishment to them, or even coming between them and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or whatever is similar to that, فَفَكِّرْ فِي حَالِ النَّاسِ. Then look at and examine the condition of the people. When you see this happening, in any land, you see the rulers doing injustice to the people, and look at the condition of the people first, before you start saying stuff. All the rulers are no good, all the rulers are kuffar, all the rulers are this and that and the other. First take a look at the people. Look at the condition of the people, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying. First look at the condition of the people. تَجِدْ أَنَّ بَلَىٰ أَسَاسُهُ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And you will find that all of this harm that's coming to them, the foundation of it, the origin of it, is from the people themselves. هُمَ الَّذِينَ أَنْحَرَفُوا. They are those who have gone off the path, have gone astray. This is the reason why this is happening to them. فَصَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ صَلَّتَ مِنْ وَلَاةِ الْأُمُورِ. So Allah placed, empowered over them, those who He placed in power over them. And in the أثر وَلَيْسَ بِحَدِيثِ, yani there's a report, yani in أثر, yani not from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from those who came after. And this, the Shaykh is saying clearly, this is not a hadith. كَمَا تَكُونُونَ يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. كَمَا تَكُونُونَ yani أَنْتُمْ يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. Just as you are, in accordance with that, those will be placed over you, will be in accordance with that. Yani the way you people are, Allah will put people over you that you deserve. That will handle you with whatever you need. Like maybe, Allahu A'lam, the people in Iraq, maybe they need it. What was the guy who was ruling Iraq? Saddam. What? Saddam. They say he was a tyrant, right? Maybe that's what they deserved. And he was the one who kept them in check. They were in check while he was the ruler. It wasn't no chaos and confusion going on there. He had them in check. But when the tyrant was removed, chaos and confusion. Egypt, the same thing. They were in check. They had a tyrant over them. He had them in check. But when they removed him, they were raping people in the streets. Subhanallah. Sometimes some people, they need a tyrant to check them. And if you're not from those people who need that, fine. But that's how it goes. If you're amongst them, you get a part of it. Naam. The Shaykh said, this is the athar. كَمَا تَكُونُونَ. Just as you are, يُوَلَّ عَلَيْكُمْ. And in accordance with that, those placed in charge over you will be, yani that will be the consideration. It has been mentioned that from some of the, or one of the Khalifas from Bani Umayyah, and he said, I think it is Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, that he gathered the yani leading people, the yani important people, when he heard that the people were talking about the government. He gathered all of the leading people, and he said to them, O people, أَتُرِيدُونَ أَن نَكُونَ لَكُمْ كَمَا كَانَ أَبُو بَكْرُ عُمَرُ. Do you want us to be, to treat you the way Abu Bakr and Umar was treating the people in that time? You want us to be like Abu Bakr and Umar? And you complaining about the way we rule, and you want us to be like Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah? You want us to be like that? They said, Bala, Nuridu Dalik. Yeah, that's how we want it. We want just that. He said, Kunu karrijal alladhina tawalla alayhim Abu Bakr and Umar. Then be like the men that Abu Bakr and Umar were in charge of. Be like those people, then we will be for you the way Abu Bakr and Umar was for the people under them. Yani anna an-nas ala deen mulukihim. Yani, the meaning of this, the people will be upon the deen of their kings. Yani, they will be yani for each other, fit for one another. So isn't it so that the ruler in this country, that he's fit for the people here? Naam, he's fit for them. How can anybody complain? He's made for them. Dumb people, dumb guy in charge of them. Criminal people, criminal guy in charge of them. Naam. That's how it is. كَمَا تَكُونُونَ يُوَلَّى عَلَيْكُمْ. الله مستعان. The Shaykh said, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen رحمه الله, فَإِذَا ظَلَمَ وُلَاتُ الْأُمُورِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهُ غَالِبًا يَكُونُ بِسَبِرْ عَمَالِ النَّاسِ. Yani, when we find that the people have been placed in charge over the affairs of the people, oppressing them, فَإِنَّهُ غَالِبًا, usually, most of the time, not every time. Notice the Shaykh is so important how he puts a word there just to keep us in check so we don't go too far with this, right? He said, غَالِبًا, most of the time, when a ruler is oppressing the people, it's due to the deeds of the people themselves. Most of the time, not all the time. And also the Shaykh mentions here that a man from the Khawarij, the Khawarij, the people who rebel against their rulers, they came to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, the fourth Khalifa, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, what is it with the people that they are criticizing you? And they didn't criticize Abu Bakr and Umar. Huh? Now note who's saying this. Khawarij. Khariji. He's saying to Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, why are the people that criticizing you? They didn't criticize Abu Bakr and Umar. He said, because the men of Abu Bakr and Umar, meaning the people who are under the authority of Abu Bakr and Umar, ana wa amthali, were me and the people like me. Wa rijali, but the people under my authority are anta wa amthali, you and the people like you. Yani, the people, when they're oppressed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places over them rulers that yani they deserve, that they are in need of. For this reason, Anas said to the people, Asbiru. He said to those people who came complaining, Asbiru. And he perhaps is something from your own self. Huh? And in Aqidah Tahawiyah, Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions in his commentary on Aqidah Tahawiyah, very important comments, we don't have time to mention it now, about obedience to the rulers. He talks about this subject a little bit and explains how the people need to look at themselves when things are going wrong. Look at yourselves. And if somebody could go back and check it, inshallah, it's very, very beneficial. He said, Anas said to the people, Isbiru. Hadha huwa al-wajib. This is what is obligatory upon you, to be patient in this situation where the people in charge of you, the ruler of the country, the governor, the mayor, the person on your job, your boss, whoever it is, the head of your family or tribe, when they're unjust, what is obligatory? And yasbir al-insan, that a person be patient. And for every difficulty, there's a relief. Don't think that the affairs will just, all affairs will just come bisuhula, just easily. Everything is going to be easy all the time. There are going to be difficulties in life. Naam. Sometimes the evil, perhaps it will come suddenly. And it will come, yani, like an attack, sudden attack on you. Like, where did it come from?
Huh? Sometimes it happened like that. But the Shaykh said, but the evil will never overpower the khair. Abadan. Abadan. No matter how dark it gets, know the khair is going to come out on top. وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَصْبِرَ. But it is incumbent upon us to be patient. وَنُعَالِجَ الْأُمُورِ بِحِكْمَةٍ. And that we treat the problems with wisdom, with hikmah. Not ignorance, emotion, irresponsibility, recklessness. Hikmah. وَلَا نَسْتَسْلِمْ وَلَا نَتَهَوَّرْ. Don't surrender to the affair. We see corruption and filth and everybody just surrender. خلاص, I can't do nothing about it. I just give up. You accept it. Huh? No. We don't surrender. But also, we don't become reckless and irresponsible either and just go crazy like some people. Look, there's corruption in the earth. We're just going to kill people. Stop this. Huh? They took over the Kaaba in Mecca in 1979. I was there. Hey, Imam Ibrahim? We were there together at that time. But alhamdulillah, by Allah's favor and His mercy, Allah gave us the idea to come home a couple of days early and we escaped. We would have been in the middle of it. But we came a couple of days early and we escaped. Alhamdulillah. Because some rash people, they said, we're not accepting this. We're going to just kill. We don't care. Even at the Kaaba? Who will kill it? Who will kill at the Kaaba? Allahu Akbar. And then we got these crazy people today. I don't know who killed all these Muslims in Egypt. I don't know. I didn't really follow the news. I didn't even hear it. But some people, whoever did it, they, yani either ISIS or other than ISIS, they're all the same. People killing Muslims. For no reason whatsoever. Because they're in the masjid. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. So the Shaykh, he said, we don't surrender to this, nor do we become reckless. Rather, we treat the problems with hikmah and sabr and ta'annin. Yani with wisdom and patience and deliberateness. Yani meaning take your time, think the matter through. And then the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah from Surah to Ali Imran, third surah, 200 ayah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu isbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Oh, you believe, and be patient, and be yani more patient than the others, and guard the frontiers, and observe taqwa of Allah, so that you may be successful. Shaykh says, إِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ الْفَلَاحِ. If you want success, then these are the asbab, these are the turuq, these are the causes, the reasons, the ways to success. Four matters. أَصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا الصَّبْرُ وَالْمُصَابَرَةُ وَالرَّابِطُ وَالرِّبَاطُ وَالتَّقْوَى. These are the four ingredients for success.
You say in English?
Naam. Any patience? Okay, let me just read briefly. Yani, let me just read briefly so that you know it will be clear the meaning of this. Yani, the translation, whatever it is, whatever it is, right? I'm going to read from the Tafsir Ibn Kathir from this ayat that will make clear what's the meaning of this. As far as al-murabata, what is al-murabata? Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says, فَهِيَ الْمُدَاوَمَ فِي مَكَانَ الْعِبَادَةِ وَالثَّبَاتِ. يعني, يعني الربات or murabata is usually translated as guarding the frontiers. يعني from the enemies at the borders of the lands of the Muslims. Okay? Yani be patient, sabr, and be more patient than the enemies. Huh? General meaning. And guard the frontiers. And observe taqwa of Allah. But here, Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir mentions something very interesting. He says, what is al-murabitha? It is mudawana, to be consistent in the place of ibadah. And to be firm upon it. To be consistent, yani, which one of us is going to the frontiers? Don't worry about it. Be consistent in the place of ibadah. This is murabita. Being consistent في مكان العبادة والثبات, and be firm in it. And it has been said, يعني انتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة, يعني that المرابطه, it is waiting after performing the prayer in the masjid and jama'ah after the salat for the next salat. This is one of the ingredients of success. And you have to be patient and musabara,
murabata, waiting after the prayer for the next prayer. Don't be in a hurry to jump up and run away. Yani, who said this? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Ibn Kathir quotes this. He says, intidhar salat ba'da salat. This is al-murabata. Who said it? Abdullah ibn Abbas. Wa yashhadu lahu hadith. And what confirms and bear witness to this meaning is a hadith as reported by Al-Imam Muslim and Al-Imam al-Nasai and others. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ala ukhbirukum bima yamhu Allah bihi al-khataya. Shall I not inform you of that with which Allah will remove the sins? Wa yarfa bihi al-darajat, and will raise a person up in degrees. Shall I inform you of such a thing? He said it is isbag al-wudu al-makarih. Yani performing ablution well with difficulty, al-makarih. Yani maybe it's winter and there's no heat in your house, the landlord turned off the heat, and there's no hot water, and it's cold, and you still make wudu thoroughly. Isbag al-wudu al-makarih. Wa kathratu al-khuta ila al-masajid. And then after making that wudu, taking a lot of steps to the masjid. Even if it's far, going to the masjid to pray. Not at home. Not in your shop. And your place of business. خَثْرَةُ الْخُطَاءِ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ. Taking the steps to the masjid. وَانْتِظَارَ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ. And waiting for the salat after the salat. Yani the next salat. فَذَلِكُمْ الرِّبَاطِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, this is the ribat. فَذَلِكُمْ رِبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمْ رِبَاطِ. Hadith reported by Imam Muslim. And I really want to mention some other sayings that Ibn Kathir mentioned, but the time doesn't allow. But in any case, I'll just mention one narration that he mentions from Ibn Mardawi. He said, As-Suyuti mentioned this narration from Abu Huraira. He said, shall I not tell you the meaning when this ayat was revealed, the ayat under discussion, O you who believe, Usbiru wa sabiru wa rabitu. He said, the person said, do you know what this was revealed in reference? The person said, no. He said, did you not know that لم يكن في زمان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غزو يرابطون فيها? But there wasn't any battle in the time of the Prophet where the people used to guard the frontiers. That didn't happen in the time of the Prophet. So then what is the meaning of مرابطة? ولكنها نزلت في قوم. But rather this was revealed in reference to a people, يعمرون المساجد, who used to take care of the masjids. They used to be in the masjids, attending the masajid. ويصلون الصلاة في مواقيتها, and they used to pray the prayers on time, not coming later making a second jama'ah. ثم يذكرون الله فيها, and then they used to remember Allah in the masajid. This ayah was revealed in reference to them. اصبروا, be patient على الصلوات الخمسة, upon the five prayers. اصبروا, the first one, being patient with the five prayers. وصابروا, and being patient على أنفسكم وحواكم, being patient with yourselves and your desires. وَرَابِتُوا, guard the frontiers, what? فِي مَسَاجِدِكُمْ, attend the masjids. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, and observe taqwa of Allah. فِي مَا عَلَيْكُمْ, in that which Allah has placed upon you of obligations, and in this way you will be successful. And this is some of what Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions, and he mentioned a lot more, but for the sake of time, we're coming close to our hour. Shaykh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he mentions this ayat and he said these are four ingredients of success, and Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir gives us a good meaning of what are these ingredients, especially in reference to worship and the prayers, the five prayers of the day, performing them in their places and in their times, and remembering Allah in them, and observing taqwa of Allah in reference to that which He has placed upon us. After this, the Shaykh says, and here he comes to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after Anas said to the people, "Isbiru," he said, "فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَشْرُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى تَلْقَ رَبُّكُمْ." And here the Shaykh is narrating the hadith by its meaning, okay? Because the actual wording of the hadith, as it came in Bukhari, "لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ." Here the Shaykh said, "إِلَّا." وَمَا بَعَدُهُ, مَا is مَا الْمَوْصُولَ, has the same meaning of الَّذِي, same meaning. But here in the actual hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, الَّذِي بَعَدُهُ شَرٌ مِّنْهُ حَتَّى تَلْقَى رَبُّكُمْ. Here Anas ibn Malik mentions this to them, that indeed no time will come upon the people except that what comes after will be more evil, worse than it, until you meet your Lord. I heard this from your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya'ani, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he's saying, Ya'ani, the meaning here is that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these words, La ya'ati alaykum. Not, Isbiru fa'innahu. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen is saying what? The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, La ya'ati. يعني لا يأتي على الناس or as it is in the narration of hadith لا يأتي عليكم زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه يعني شر in reference to what? In reference to your deen. شر in reference to your deen. يعني as far as other matters not really important. What's important is that the time that comes out is going to be worse in reference to your deen. And this evil, ليس شرا مطلقا عاما. It's not absolute general evil. Absolutely everything is going to be more evil. It doesn't mean that. But rather the Shaykh is saying, بل قد يكون شرا في بعض المواضع. يعني it will be more evil in some areas of the يعني situation. ويكون خيرا في مواضع أخرى. وهكذا. But in other areas, in other aspects, it may be better. يعني a time may come that may be more evil in some aspects, but in other aspects, it may be better. But in general, yani the time that comes after will be worse. وَمَا هَذَا. And here the Shaykh, now he begins to explain yani the shar. What is the cause of the shar? Why will it become shar? Yani just Allah just want to make more evil on the people? La. Yani it's from the people themselves. It always goes back to yourself. It goes back to yourself. When we love to blame somebody else, the leader, the ruler, the Shaykh, the Imam, it's everybody except us. No, it goes back to us. The Shaykh says, وَمَا هَذَا فَإِنَّ النَّاسِ كُلُّمَا ازْدَادُ. Should be the word here, should be ازْدَادُ. One letter is missing from that word. فِي رِفَاهِيَ وَكُلُّمَا انْفَحْتَهُ عَلَى النَّاسِ انْفَتَحَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ الشُّرُورُ. Yani indeed the people, as they increase in luxury and comfort, as they increase in luxury and comfort, and things open up, yani meaning the material, yani things open up for the people, then likewise more evil will be opened up for them. And we can look at some of the countries, yani outside of this place, right? But even here too, but in the Muslim countries I'm talking about, before the wealth came to some of those countries, the people were in a good condition. And then when the wealth came, look what happened. Shar came with it. And you want to be rich? There's something coming with it. He said, it is this luxurious life, the life of comfort and ease. هِيَ الَّتِي تُدَمِّرُ الْإِنسَانِ. This is what destroys the person. This is something we got to think about. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that which confirms this. But in any case, the Shaykh said, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, this is what destroys the people. It's the life of luxury and comfort and ease, the luxurious life. And this is because the human being, when he looks to this luxury, this luxurious life of comfort and ease, and the pleasures of his body, غَفَلَ عَن تَنْعِيمْ قَلْبِهِ. Then he forgot about the pleasure, the comfort of his heart. Forgot about his heart. When all he's thinking about is pleasing pleasures of the body, then it caused him to forget about his heart. وَصَارَ أَكْبَرُ حَمِّهِ أَنْ يَنْعَمْ هَذَا الْجَسَدِ. The most important concern for him now became the pleasures of his body. That body which will end up being eaten by the worms in the ground, and it will be stinking, rotten, stinking. That's the body that he's so concerned about that he forgot about his heart. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْبَلَاءُ. This is the evil, yani the trial, the tribulation, the affliction that befell the people. هُوَ الَّذِي دَرَّ النَّاسَ الْيَوْمِ. This is what caused harm to the people today. Shaykh is talking specifically in his country. The wealth came and look what happened. But this is general. You hardly could find a person except he's saying, what about my qasr? Yani his castle, or yani my mansion, my house. What about my car, my furnishings, my food? That's all some people think about. Even some of those who are reading al-ilm, yaqra'un al-ilm wa yadrusuna aw yudarrisuna al-ilm. Yani the people who are studying, seeking knowledge. Some of them, they're only studying in order to attain a rank or a status or a station that will enable them to enjoy the na'im ad-dunya, the pleasures of this world. وَكَأَنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَمْ يُخْلَقْ لِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. It is as though the human being has not been created for some great, magnificent matter, affair. Yani, as though the human being hasn't been created for some yani purpose, sublime purpose. وَالدُّنْيَا وَنَعِيمُهَا إِنَّمَا هِيَ وَسِيلَةٌ فَقَدْ. This world and its pleasures are only a means to use to reach the goal of earning the pleasure of your Rabb. That's all it is, a means. It's not the end. It's not the goal. Huh? And we ask Allah that we will use it, and you, that you will use this dunya only as a means. Don't take it for more than that. And call the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, ma ma'anahu. And the Shaykh is saying, this is the general meaning of what he said. يعني ينبغي على الإنسان أن يستعمل المال كما يستعمل الحمار للركوب وكما يستعمل بيت الخلاء للغائط. يعني it is incumbent upon the human being to use wealth in the same way that a donkey is used just for riding. That's all. In the same way the toilet is used to relieve yourself from waste. Meaning the heart, yani the toilet bowl shouldn't have a place in your heart. It shouldn't have a grip on your heart. That's the way wealth should be. It shouldn't be that your heart, yani all that is, what is filling your heart is seeking this dunya. The heart, that place in your heart belongs to the one that you were created to worship. Not the wealth and the material of this world. Yani it should be like what? The donkey that's used for riding. Yani you're not in love with the donkey, you're not kissing and hugging him. Like these people kiss their dogs, right? A donkey is for riding, that's all. A toilet is for relieving yourself, that's all. You're not in love with your bathroom, I hope. It has a purpose. Use it for what it's there for, that's it. After that, you forgot about it and going about your business, worshipping your Rabb. This is the meaning of what Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said. He said, the people who understand this, these are the people who know wealth and they know its worth. These are the people who know the wealth and they know its value, its worth. Don't make wealth your greatest concern. Ride the wealth. Yani use it as a riding animal to get where you gotta go. For indeed, if you don't ride the wealth, it will ride you. And your greatest concern will become this world. And for this reason we say, indeed the people, the more that this dunya opens up to them, the more they will be looking to it, giving it their attention. And they will be losers in reference to the hereafter in the same amount to the extent that they gain from the dunya, gains from the dunya. To the more that they get of the dunya, the more they will be losing of the akhirah. And this is why, and the Prophet ﷺ said, Wallahi mal faqru akhsha alaykum. He said, I swear by Allah, it is not poverty that I fear for you. That's not what I'm worried about. Don't worry about seeking the wealth of the world. Poverty, don't worry about that. The wealth is going to come. Yani, I do not fear poverty for my people. Because the dunya will be opened for you as much as Allah wills. وَلَكِنِّي أَخْشَى أَن تُبْسَطَى عَلَيْكُمَ الدُّنْيَا. But I fear that the dunya will be spread open for you. Wide, spacious, for you to delve into it. كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلِكُمْ. In the same way that it was opened to the people who were before you. فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. So then you will go after it. Yani, you will compete with one another in seeking the world in the same way that when it was open to the people before you, they competed in seeking this world. Result being what? تُحْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَحْلَكَتْهُمْ. Hum it should be. And there's some mistakes in the typing of this hadith. But yani, so then you will seek it, you will compete for it in the way that they competed for it, and it will destroy you in the same way that it destroyed the people before you. This hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasai, Ahmed and others. And in one of the wordings in Bukhari, yani, it will destroy you as it destroyed them, he said, تُلْحِيَكُمْ كَمَا أَلْحَتْهُمْ. Yani it will distract you in the same way it distracted them. الحاكم التكاثر حتى زرت المقابر. Yani you will be distracted by it. By yani the attraction and the distraction of the dunya until you're in the grave, and then it's too late. And the Shaykh, he says, after mentioning this narration, That the Prophet said, I don't fear for you poverty, I fear that the world will be open for you, and then you will compete for it as the people before you did, and then it will destroy you as it destroyed them. He said, Sadaqa Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he has indeed spoken the truth. This is that which ahlaka an-nas al-yawm, that this is what destroyed the people today. That which destroyed the people today, it is competing in seeking the dunya. يعني كونهم كأنهم إنما خلقوا لها لأنها خلقت لهم. يعني their state being such that it is as though they were created for the world, not that the world was created for them, to use it, to serve them. So they became busied بما خلق لهم أما خلق له. أما خلقوا له. يعني they became occupied with that which was created to serve them, and distracted by that from that which they were created to serve. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the opposite. Things are turned upside down, backwards. Nas'al Allah al-afiyah. We ask Allah for well-being to protect us from such. Amen. And now, time is upon us. The Shaykh, he says, from this hadith, what is derived from this hadith? And he mentions two matters. In this hadith, يعني وفي هذا الحديث وجوب الصبر على ولاة الأمور وإن ظلموا وجاروا. يعني in this hadith, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah rahmatan wasiya, he's saying to us, in this hadith we understand the obligation. It's not something, it's better to be patient. No, it's obligatory to be patient with those who have been placed in charge over you, even if they oppress you, even if they transgress all bounds. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said this. Okay, so whoever doesn't like it, what do we care? Why must you be patient with them, even if they oppress you? لَأَنَّكَ سَوْفَ. And here the Shaykh is saying what? Now he's saying, in spite of everything else, know for sure that whatever oppression, whatever wrong has been done to you, don't forget about Yawm al-Hisab, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No injustice will go unaddressed. Huh? So here the Shaykh is what? Giving us something else to work with. Because soon you will stand with them, those who oppressed you, a standing where you and them will be on equal footing in front of the King of all kings. You will be their disputant on the day of Qiyamah. If they have wronged you, if they have oppressed you, don't think that the dhulm that has been done in this world, that it will just go away like particles of dust blown away in the air. Don't imagine it's just going to go away like that. Like the people who do oppression, they imagine it's just going to go away. So if you have been oppressed, don't imagine. Huh? And Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا أَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't imagine that Allah is unaware of what the zalimun are doing. Don't imagine that Allah is unaware. You will be standing with them on Yawm al-Qiyamah if they have wronged you. Don't imagine it's just going to go away. The rights of the people, la budda an yu'khadh Yawm al-Qiyamah. It must be, their rights must be taken on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So you will stand with them in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that he will judge between you justly. So be patient now and wait for the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way you will achieve itma'anan and nafs wa thabat. And you will find comfort for yourself, your nafs and your soul. You will find comfort in this, knowing that if you are being patient, waiting for the relief from Allah, relief is coming. And this will help you to be firm. وَانْتِظَارُ الْفَرَجِ عِبَادَةً. This waiting for the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worship. That you worship Allah with it. So if you wait for the faraj, the relief from Allah, then know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ النَّصْرَ مَا صَبْرِي وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجَ مَا الْقَرْبِي وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Know that victory is with patience. And know that relief comes with difficulty and distress, and know that with difficulty there is ease. Naam. And then the Shaykh says, yani, in this there's a warning, and in this hadith there's a warning of an evil time, and evil times that will come, and that the times will change, and they will change to that which is worse. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that day to his companions, من يعيش منكم فسيرى اختلافا كثيرا. Well known hadith reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah and others. Whoever of you lives for a long time, you will see اختلافا كثيرا, a lot of differences. Here the Shaykh is using this hadith to refer to different differences, not the dispute between the people, but differences in this hadith, differences in time, that the times will change and they will become worse, but not absolutely. In some aspects it may be worse, and in some aspects it may be better. Here the Shaykh is saying, what, if you live a long time, you see a lot of change. And I think that we, our life in this world is little in comparison to people before us, and people used to live longer. And he doesn't mean in the last 100 years. He means in the centuries of the past, when people used to live 1,000 years and 500 years. And our lifespan is short in comparison to them, right? And the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, how long did he live? Nope. I was hoping somebody would say, not 950. He gave dawah for 950 years. He lived for more than that. Okay, now there's different opinions concerning this. But anyway, the point is, the people used to live a long time, and now we're living a short time, and the Shaykh is saying, and in spite of the fact that we're living a short time, we're seeing change. We didn't live a long time, but we're seeing a lot of change. He said, we have seen a lot of change. We have seen a lot of change between the years that passed and the years of the present time. Someone that I trust has reported to me that this masjid, Masjid al-Jamia in Qasim, yani the big masjid where the Shaykh was teaching, he said, it has been reported to me by a trustworthy person that in this very masjid, as he's talking, he said, he's saying in this very masjid, كَانَ لَا يُؤَذَّن لِلصَّلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ تَمَّ الصَّفَّ الْأَوَّلِ. Yani, that the adhan for fajr wasn't called, except that before it was called, the first line was already full. Well, who's going to fill it before the adhan? Huh? Anybody? Any takers? Who wants to fill the first line before the adhan? Nobody? Here we got one. I'll go, me and you, okay? Your dad going to have to bring you, though. Now, he said, in this very masjid. Now, what he's saying, what? Not today, but it was like that before. Times have changed. The people used to come to this masjid and they used to perform tahajjud in the masjid. Where are the people performing tahajjud today? Except, yani, whatever Allah wills. Qaleelun. Very, very few. Yani, performing tahajjud anywhere. He said, the conditions have changed. You used to find one from amongst them. Yani, he's saying the changing in the conditions. كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيَّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ كَالطَّيْرِ تَغْدُو خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوهُ بِطَانًا. Yani, the Prophet ﷺ, in the beginning of the hadith, he said that if you would put your trust in Allah the way the birds do. And in the beginning of the hadith he said, and the end of the hadith he said, yani, the birds, they go out in the morning, khimasan, yani, with their stomachs, with their bellies empty, وَتَرُوهُ بِطَانًا, and they come back with their bellies full. Huh? Because they what? تَوَقَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And this hadith is sahih, reported by Ahmed, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah. He said, if that one of these people, yani, used to find these people, he's saying, used to, times have changed though. If that person wakes up in the morning, he would say, Allahumma yarzuqni, Allahumma yarzuqni, O Allah, give me provisions. Qalbuhu mu'allakun billah, while his heart is attached to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah gives him provisions. And he goes out and seeks, and Allah provides for him. His heart is attached to Allah. And mal'an, as for now, most of the people are in ghafla. They are completely unaware of this matter. Yani, of what? Putting your trust in Allah. And Allah is the provider. They are relying mostly on other than Allah. And the Shaykh said, whoever their heart is attached to something, then they will be given over to that thing. Na'am, the Shaykh closes by saying, in the last yani period of time, walhamdulillah, yani this is some change, but for the better, he's saying. Because he said the evil is not going to be complete, right? Maybe in some aspects worse, in some aspects better. So one good aspect of the present time, he said, in this last period of time, alhamdulillah, there's no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened the khair for the shabab, the young people. And I ask Allah to increase upon them His favor. Indeed, He has opened for them the way, and they have turned towards Allah. They have accepted it. Allah opened the way for them, and they accepted, and they came forward, the young people. Naam. He said, you saw between in the last years and the years of the past, in reference to the youth, a tremendous difference. Before 20 years ago, the Shaykh is saying, he said, you would hardly find a young person in the masjid. أما الآن ولله الحمد, most of the people in the masjid are the young people. Yani one time you hardly found a young person in the masjid. It was only the old folks in the masjid. Now he said, most of the people in the masjid are the young people. That's a change for the better. What about us? This is a ni'mah from Allah, alhamdulillah. And we, yani the people should hope, yani should have hope in this for a brighter future. Trust that the youth, if they are rectified, then the rulers, those in charge of their affairs, will be compelled by necessity, yani, to rectification, no matter what. And if the people improve, the rulers are going to become better. It's in your hands. Don't just complain, do something about yourself. So we have hope also for our brothers in other than this land, yani his country, and other than his country. We have hope for those who Allah has blessed them with uprightness, and being firm upon the truth, that Allah will rectify their rulers. And we say, be patient. For indeed, your rulers, they will be rectified in spite of themselves, whether they like it or not, if you rectify yourselves. For if the society, the people, are rectified, then the rulers by necessity will also be rectified. نسأل الله أن يصلح للمسلمين ولاة أمورهم وشعوبهم إنه جواد كريم. And we ask Allah to rectify the Muslims in general, the rulers and the people. Indeed, Allah is giving plentifully and He is generous. And this is the end of what we wanted to mention tonight, and our time really is up. Alhamdulillah.